Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 90. We'll read the entire chapter of Psalm 90. And at the beginning of it, it tells us that this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So, Psalm 90, beginning at verse 1, and what you're about to hear is the very word of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And thus far the reading of God's word. Now, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today, of course, is New Year's Day, the first day of 2023. And many times at the end of the year and at the beginning of a new year, we pause and we reflect. We think about the past year, events that took place, both in the world and in our own lives. We think about things that we did or did not get a chance to do. And we think about joys of the past year and perhaps some sorrows too. And we not only reflect on the year that has passed, but we may also ponder a little bit about the year that is coming. And we wonder what's going to happen. What's going to happen in our world, in our country, and in our own lives? Now, some of us at this time of year, we may develop a list of things that we would like to get done in the next 365 days. And then we also kind of plan for what it's going to take to get those things accomplished. Now, perhaps you're that type of person, or maybe you're the type of person who is more philosophical at this time of year. As you think about the old year and the new year, and you consider more about the meaning of your work, or of the value of the time you spent doing different things in this last year. And so this morning, what I would like us to do is to think a little bit about the coming of this new year and to answer the question of how shall we enter this new year, 2023? And as we look at Psalm 90, we will see that the answer to that question is that we should enter 2023 not in our own strength, which is feeble and frail and full of sin, but leaning on the everlasting God, and then using our time to serve and glorify Him. Psalm 90, as it says at the beginning, it's a prayer of Moses. It's Moses has put together this prayer, and it seems quite appropriate to have this prayer at New Year's time. Moses appears to be in a reflective mood, thinking about God and man and man's need for God's grace. And in fact, that's pretty much the 3 points of our sermon this morning. We'll consider God's greatness, and then we'll think about man's mortality, and then third, we'll look at the cry for God's grace and gladness. So beginning then with God's greatness. The psalm begins with Moses reflecting on the fact that God is a refuge for His people. Moses writes, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place for all generations." So God is our dwelling place. Some Bible translations will put it that He is our hiding place, or He is our place of refuge. And certainly Moses could testify to God being his place of refuge. I mean, he had that right away, right? When his mother put little baby Moses in the basket and then let that basket float among the reeds of the Nile River. And God was his refuge there. He was watching out for Moses. And then with the people of Israel, God had provided the people of Israel a place of refuge when He brought the plagues upon Egypt, and especially on that night when that angel came and killed all of the firstborn except for those who found protection under the blood of the Lamb. And as the people of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, God was their dwelling place, and He dwelt among them. He was with them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Lord protected Israel from her enemies, and God supplied food and water to the people of Israel as they journeyed through the desert. Well, God's people today, they still have a journey through a wilderness. It's the wilderness of living in this world. And God is just as much our dwelling place today as He was for His people in those Old Testament times. On our pilgrimage, there we have joys and we have sorrows. Now, some of you may have had joys this past year of adding a new member to your family. That might have been through birth or through a wedding. Some of you may have celebrated special birthdays or anniversaries. But there may also have been sorrows that were experienced, perhaps the death of a loved one or the loss of health. But still, through it all, we must testify that God has been our provider and protector. He has been a place of refuge for us. He has been our dwelling place. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, Moses uses these same words that God is our dwelling place, but then he adds after that, that underneath are God's everlasting arms. God's protection and provision for us, they're not temporary. We can always count on God being there. He is everlasting. That's what Moses is driving at in these first two verses of Psalm 90. God was there before the mountains were made. He was there before the earth and the heavens were created. Verse 2 presents God as being the creator as well as being eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 90 give us words of comfort. As we enter the new year, we must remember that our dwelling place, our rest, and our security can only be found in our eternal God. Well, after exalting this infinite God, Moses then goes on to talk about the finiteness of man. And so now this brings us into our second point in man's mortality. And there are two aspects of man being mortal that Moses brings out. One is the brevity of man's life, and the second is the sinfulness of man. So Moses tells us God is from everlasting to everlasting, and He is the creator of the mountains and of all the earth. And man, well, man is made from that earth. He comes from the dust of the ground. Moses writes that God turns man to destruction. And the Hebrew word here for destruction, it's daka. And it's translated as destruction in the New King James, but what it literally means is crushed or pulverized, which is why the ESV and the New American Standard Bible translates it as dust. And, of course, the opening chapters of Genesis tells us that God made man from the dust of the ground, and it is man will return to the dust of the ground when he dies. There is a time where man has a body where he's breathing, where he works, he thinks, he feels, he loves. But no matter how long a person lives, death will eventually come. And all that a person has accomplished will eventually be forgotten. Now, we've just gone through a whole year. And sometimes when we have to wait a year for something, those 365 days seems like a long wait. And yet, how many of us at the end of December, how often don't we say, my, where has the year gone? Well, Moses describes the brevity of our lives in this way. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. Now, think about that for a moment. When we fall asleep, we don't really realize how the time passes by. You go to bed at night, you might look at your clock and it says 10 or 11 o'clock, and then you fall asleep. And next thing you know, the clock says that it's 5 or 6 or 7 in the morning, that the time has just gone by and we didn't even realize it. Our years are like this. Our years on this earth are like a sleep. They can pass very quickly. Moses also gives this analogy about our lifetime. In the morning, they are like grass, which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. Now, in that region of the world, in the land of Israel, they could get a nighttime rain that would make it that in the morning time the grass is nice and green. But then that scorching hot desert sun shines down on that grass all day, and by the end of the day, it's dried. It's withered away. Moses is saying that our lives are like that, that we flourish, we live, but that's really just a short time, and then we are gone. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he says, all flesh is like grass. And people's lives may even be pretty, like a flower, adding beauty to something. Our lives might bring benefit to society, contribute to society, just like a flower brings beauty to a field. But at the end of it all, the grass withers and the flower fades. And it's gone. So Moses is bringing out the finiteness of man, the brevity of man. But that's not the biggest problem in man's life. The biggest problem is that of man's sin. And that is what Moses brings out in verses 7 through 11 of Psalm 90. Just look at verses 7 and 8. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. God sees all of our sins, even those that we think are secret, that are so well hidden. And all of our sins are deserving of God's anger and judgment. We should not take our sins lightly, nor should we take lightly the Lord's anger against our sins. Rather, we should be terrified of God's wrath against sin. The people of Israel, they could know of God's wrath against sin, for they had seen it. They had seen the Lord bring plague after plague upon those wicked Egyptians. And the people of Israel themselves, they had experienced God's wrath at times when they were journeying through the wilderness. Now, we don't know exactly when this psalm was written. There are some who think it was written after the events that took place in Numbers 14. At that point in Numbers 14, it's where the people of Israel, they had come to the land of Canaan. They sent spies into the land, and it looked so good. But 10 of those spies said, but there's no way that we can conquer the inhabitants of Canaan. And so the people, they didn't dare go in. They rebelled against God. And God responded to that sin and rebellion by saying that none of that generation would be allowed to enter into the promised land. Instead, they would just wander through the desert for 40 years. Now, incidentally, Moses at that time, when they were had sent those spies into the promised land to check it out, Moses was about little over 80 years old at that time, which may be why he mentions those 70, that a person lives 70 and 80 years because of strength, that you see him mentioning that in verse 10. So some people think that this prayer may have been written after Numbers 14, but there are others who say that Psalm 90 was written after the events of Numbers chapter 20. Now, in that chapter, Israel has already been wandering through the wilderness for those four decades. And now they are soon going to enter Canaan. It's a new generation, but the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And the people are still complainers. And they're grumbling about there being no water. And so God, he's going to provide water for them there in Numbers 20. But what happens is Moses takes Aaron's staff and he strikes the rock and the water comes out. He was supposed to speak to the rock. That's what God had commanded him to do. And so when Moses strikes the rock, this angers the Lord, and it was at this point that God said that neither Aaron nor Moses was going to enter that land of promise. Now, as I said, we don't know exactly when this prayer, this psalm was written, but one thing is clear. Man is sinful and deserving of God's wrath and judgment. In fact, if we look back to Genesis 3, we see that the death which causes that brevity of life that Moses was talking about, death comes to us because of sin. All men die because Adam sinned. We read that in Romans 5, verse 12. Because of Adam, all men are sinful, and God is angry at that sin, and he will bring judgment upon it. And so Moses is reminding us of that in verses 7 through 11 of Psalm 90. Now, when a new year starts these days, some people are ready to start anew. They make resolutions of how they want to do better. And then at the end of the year, when that comes, well, it can be good to look back and think about the year and ask ourselves, are we any closer to the Lord? And how are we doing with our battle against sin? And as we recognize our sin, we should not treat it lightly as many in our world do. Our sin should grieve us and cause us to cry out to the Lord for help, just like David did in Psalm 19 when he said, "But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression." So man, he is mortal. He's prone to sin and deserving of God's wrath. That is why we must appeal to God for an outpouring of his grace. And that's what we see Moses doing in the next verses, verses 12 to 17 of Psalm 90. And that brings us into our third point, a cry for grace and gladness. Verses 3 through 11 of this psalm, they can be kind of a downer. Moses seems to be pessimistic. It focuses on man's life being short, insignificant, and even though it's so brief, yet it seems to be full of sin. This passage almost seems like it should be a passage in Ecclesiastes, where that writer too, he speaks of the vanity of life and that life is just a striving after wind. If we just look at verses 3 through 11 of Psalm 90, we may wonder, where is the hope? Well, the hope is there, but it's not found in ourselves. It's there in those first two verses that we looked at. Our hope is in the Lord, the eternal God, the Creator. He is our refuge. This is why another psalmist says that my hope is in the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. So Moses in Psalm 90, he knows that God's people must look to the Lord for wisdom and for understanding, that they may persevere in their pilgrimage on this planet. Thus, the last six verses of this psalm, they're appeals to God's grace, they're prayer requests. prayer requests that are applicable for us today, too. So let's consider some of these prayer requests. The first one, teach us to number our days. So understanding that our time on earth is limited can help us to see that we should make the most of our time, that we shouldn't be wasting our time away, but rather using each minute to serve and glorify the Lord and to prepare ourselves for eternity. So many today live like the businessman of Luke chapter 12. There we read of this man who was building barns, storing up treasures on this earth, and convincing himself then that he should just eat, drink, and be merry. This rich man in Luke, he was counting on many days to live yet, and he was unprepared that very night that he would die and that his soul would be required of him. The rich man was not considering that the days of his life were numbered. Moses asked God to teach us to do just that and to help us to use those days wisely. Now, a second request that Moses makes is that the Lord would return. Moses wonders, how long will it be before the Lord comes back to his people? The psalmist is seeking God's compassion, God's grace, God's blessing. Man's sin has separated man from God, and Moses is looking for a way that man can once again be reconciled to God. So ultimately, this psalm is a cry for the coming of Christ. He is the one who can bear God's wrath. He is the one who can bring us life, eternal life. So Christ, he is the answer to Moses' third request, where Moses writes, satisfy us early with your mercy. God's mercy, his steadfast love, is expressed most fully to us when God sent his Son to be our Savior. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is thus life in Christ that makes us rejoice and be glad all of our days. It's not our own accomplishments that makes us glad, nor is it that when we follow our sinful, selfish desires, that doesn't bring us joy and gladness either. It's when we look to the Lord. Another request is shown in verse 16. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Now, which work of God is Moses referring to here? Is it the work of God's creation? Is it the work of God's deliverance? I think John 6, verse 29 helps us here. There we read, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Moses wants people to have faith. Faith in the Creator God who will be their refuge. Faith in the only one who can save them from their sins. Faith in the only one who can give them life. The final request of the psalm is that God would establish the work of our hands. Now, the word establish can also be translated as give permanence to. Now, this may seem odd, for earlier in the psalm, Moses was bringing out the insignificance of man, the briefness of the brevity of man's life, and that so many things that we do don't have much meaning. And then add to that Moses first wrote this psalm for the people of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness. Wanderers don't have much to do with permanence. They're living in tents. They don't leave behind many monuments. So how can the Lord establish the work of our hands? Well, the only way to give permanence to our work is for us to be doing the work of the Lord. Psalm 127 tells us that unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build it in vain. The scriptures also tell us that when we abound in the work of the Lord, then our toil is not in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. And John, he writes in his first epistle that the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone needs to be a pastor or a missionary or something like that, but what God does want us to do is to recognize the talents and gifts that He has given to each one of us, and that we should use those gifts then to serve Him and to honor and glorify Him. So in conclusion then, we've been looking at this psalm at the beginning of another new year. And the psalm, in a way, may seem to be a bit pessimistic, but from it, we learn that our lives, brief as they may be, may still have value when we live before the eternal God. And we can escape His anger against our sin when we find our refuge in His mercy and in His steadfast love, which He offers to us through the cross of Christ. Amen. Shall we pray?